his own problems. What really destroy people? Their own emotional problems. Can't get along with each other. Have problems within society. They get destroyed if somebody is successful. It destroys them. So therefore, they have to go out and kill themselves in order to make sure that they're better than that person. And all the crazy ideas that people have, the insane ideas. I mean, this is what ruins life. But life per se is very enjoyable. That's what Ram is very optimistic. See? That's basically the idea in this. That's the underlying idea in this. We quoted one at a time. He said that physical work warms the body. That he didn't mean. He wasn't trying to find the benefit. He wasn't trying to say that work is good. What he was trying to say is that if a person was in line with reality, he would be able to appreciate the way God created the world, so that everything that's a benefit, he would enjoy. Work, you see, what he said was he was a person that was happy to be in line with reality. So therefore, any additional benefit that he had, instead of complaining about it, because the complaints come from not being in line with reality. But since he was in line with reality, he was able to appreciate the benefits that he got. But not that a person should inherently work is a good thing. And if you can afford to sit and learn, then you should work. That's crazy. What I'm trying to say is that there's a special enjoyment that a person has of being in line with reality. That's what Chazal is trying to point out. That's the special enjoyment. I don't know if everybody could perceive what that is, but the Rabbanus, the Avos Reb Nosson says, Ketzad malamed shelo yaniach adam at Torah me'atzmo barosho. A person should not crown himself. Well, yeah. Alright? So what do you see from the Snowath Rabbanus? Snowath Rabbanus. The snow, how do they learn from Snowath Rabbanus? Snowath Rabbanus is the same, it's a counterpart to the Alas and Lach. Counterpart. The person shouldn't get involved. That the ego, the emotion of the ego, is what distorts reality. You see? And Elvis and Malachas Nas Rabbanus is one thing. It means that the man is attached to reality. That's what it is. An interesting pasuk that in Mishlei, Rabbeinu Yonah quotes. Mishlei Yud Beis pasuk Tes. Tov Nikle Ve'eved Lo Nimiskabeid V'chasar Locham. See? Nikla means a person who is low, down. He says, is better off than the miskabed, a person who is very haughty, has a lot of, sophisticated, aristocratic type, miskabed, vachasar locham, and he has nothing to eat. Right? Which means that a person's ego prevents him from seeing reality. And that's what the story is over there. What does the Gemara say? A person sometimes doesn't work 6 days a week, so he has to work all week. He has to work on Shabbos. Why? Because he doesn't work, and then the geisers come along, and they take him away, and they make him work. What does the Gemara mean? I mean, not every place has geisers. What the Gemara means is that a person's disdain for labor is an inherent weakness in character, which causes him to distort reality. And once he distorts reality, the truth of the matter is, he denies what's happening, and then he can't escape reality. Reality comes in and makes it worse for him in his own aims and objectives than originally he had planned. You see? That's what the pasuk is over. Tov nikle v'eved lo. It's better than a person that sees himself like an eved. Me miskabed v'chasar lochem. Because the person, what does it mean? If that's the deal he made up, so he wants to be a chasar lochem. No, the answer is he never realized he's going to be a chasar lochem, because the emotion distorted reality, and he figures somehow or other something comes through. Don't worry about it. Right? So the emotion distorted reality. In the end, he remains a chasar lochem, and he remains in a much worse condition and actuality than he originally ever thought would happen to him. Why? Because the crazy emotion distorts the reality. Star Elvis Amlocha, because the yeshiva said, no, you should learn, you shouldn't work. Oh, big problems with this in the creator of kibbutz, and then the yeshiva said just the opposite. No, you shouldn't. I said, Amlocha means something else. The pshat is, all Chazal is showing you is it's not a work ethic, and it's not a not work ethic. But it's not the Chazal trying to show a person what the reality that a person finds himself in is, and how we should adapt and accept and love it and enjoy it. See? That's what they're trying to show. It's not a work ethic. Chachomim, Yizoru b'divrechem. It's an interesting number. Chachomim, you should be careful with your words. Shema tachovu chovas golus. Maybe you'll do something which will be make you chayev and golus. V'siglu l'mokom mayim aroyim. And you'll go away and go to a place of bad waters. V'yishtu atalmidim aboim acharechem. And the talmidim that come after you will drink from these waters. V'yamusu, and they'll die. V'nimtza shem shamayim eschalel. The Chazal didn't speak in Meshalem. Let's take a look at this memra. Yeah. Siglu l'makamayim aroyim. Rashi says bechazor shmuascha, going over the shmua to make sure that you have the halacha right. Because in those days everything had to be done by memory. Okay. Shema tochov v'chovas golus, klomar shema tiyumorim bedvaro iser, bedavar iser, sheyesh bogolus. Is they will be more halacha in something? I mean, like kick that right through. All right, that's good. It means Velosaki Aratzeskan. You'll be more aloch in something which the Torah says in Kedoshim Velosaki Aratzeskan. The Hitamachem Osa. Alright, it's possible if it's speaking about where you're in Eretz Yisrael. Speaking about you're in Eretz Yisrael. Could be Rashi speaking about they're in Eretz Yisrael and living more aloch in something which is like Arias. Arias. Could be. Domim, where is it? Perkamishi?
Mishnah
Tess. Golas Bola Olam Alavoris Kachovna Gila Rice Vashvichel Domo Shmita Saras. Yeah. That's good. So Rashi's making reference to this. So you'll be more halacha, for instance, in Arias. So apparently it'll end like this. It's Lav Dachkin Eretz Yisrael. It means, in other words, anywheres. Good, okay, good. Anywheres. So, well, Shemitah starts, of course, only in Eretz Yisrael. So what he means is that you'll be Meir HaLocha in the wrong way, and you'll be Chayev Golas. Okay, fine. All right, so you'll be Chayev Golas. Of course, Golas only can do it with Mazin. So you must say that they mean over here that if, since you weren't careful with your Shmua, so that's considered already mazed. So you're chayev for it. You understand me? Because the point, like, is the people who, let's say, for instance, the Bezdin is more halacha in the wrong way in Arias. So does that mean the people are going to get gullus? I mean, they're following the Bezdin. Why should they get gullus? What?
Part of the system to follow Bezdin.
Right, it's part of the system to follow Bezdin. It's not an isser. I mean, the halacha is the people will only get an onish if you do something which can get halacha. But if Bezdin are good with paskins, they're supposed to do this, and you follow halacha, even though it's dovah shishbo. Sheshbo Isser and it's Chayev Golas, you're not going to be Chayev Golas. So what does it mean? So you see Rashi holds like this, that Rashi holds that if, since you paskin that way and you weren't careful with your Shmua, you weren't careful to make sure that you know the halacha properly, you didn't go over the Shmua enough times and you made a mistake in Pesach, so that's considered mazed, you're Chayev, and you caused people to be over the Isser, so therefore you will go with the Golas. Not them. You are going to Golas. That's what it means. Okay, that's good. That's what Rashi means. You're going to Golas because you weren't careful. All right, good. That's so far good. Okay. V'siglu l'makom mayim aroim. L'makom acher. She'ein sham talmidim agunim, Rashi says. So you'll go to Golas. You have to go to another place where there aren't good talmidim. Understand what happens here. You go away to the other place. You'll go to Golas to another place where there aren't any good talmidim. And you'll teach them, and when you go back to your place, so the Talmidim, which Talmidim? Yishtu ha-Talmidim ha-boy macharechem, the Talmidim that come from where? From the second place where you were at. The yilmadu mikem lahatir dovar shel iser, the yavol idechi of nisa. So actually, how could you have avoided? You could have avoided damage another way. Don't teach those Talmidim in the second place that are not mogonim. You're not supposed to take them to the base of Medrash. So the kilkel didn't come from the fact that they were went into gullus. The kilkel came from the fact that they took talmidim sheinam hugonim. So, and that can happen even if you're not in gullus.
Yeah.
Even if you're, in the main city. I don't understand exactly what Rashi means over here with the siglu lemoko mayim arayim. Rashi says, why the fish are called Yomer? Everybody will say, Risim halolu b'nei Adam. Look at the last part of Rashi. I said, what's the big kilkul? Why? Al yedechem, the fish are called Yomer. Reisim halolu b'nei Adam. Shehoyu talmidim hagunim umesu b'chatzi yineim. Velo higina tarosam aleim. Shekosuv bo ki orech yom mushnos chayim. Uksiv ki yuch hayecha v'orech yimecha. Uksiv eitz chayim il machzikim bo. All these psukim. Early. So Rashi says that what is the tragedy over here? That you took people that really weren't roy to be Talmidei Chachamim, and you dressed them up as Talmidei Chachamim, and they died because they weren't roy, because they paskin on a tzibur. So they were eliminated because of the fact that they weren't good for the tzibur. They were eliminated.
What
just a second, and therefore, this is going to cause a Chil Hashem. Why is it a Chil Hashem? Because people will say, look at these scholars, they really learned Torah. And Torah is supposed to protect them. And here they died young. See? So what is he from Rashi? If you're Talmid Chacham, it's a crime to die young. What do we hold? We hold if somebody dies young that he's not a tzaddik? Gemara says, that was it, Rabbah died when he was 40 years old. I mean, The Gemara says that Boni Chayim Mizoni, Gemara says in my cotton, that the having children, the type of children you have, and Chayi, how long you live, and your Panasa, the Gemara says, is Lav B'Schusa Tal Yemilsa, doesn't depend upon your Schusim, Ela B'Mazla, depends upon your Mazla, because the Gemara says that there was one Talmud Chacham that was greater than another. Because not only was Talmud Chacham, it was Isaac in Gemilas Chasarim a lot, and he died younger than the other one. One died at 40, the other one was 50, 90, something like that. So the Gemara says that you see, you cannot say that it depends upon your schus, how long you're going to live. So a great Talmud Chacham could die very young. In the Balamor, I think, was when he died? 36, something like that. Yeah, in a lot of Gedolei Yisrael. I mean, Shach was very young too. Shach. And a lot of Gedolei Yisrael died very young. Fras Yaakov. So what is that? What does that prove? That we believe if a person lives to an old age, he's a tzaddik, and if he dies young, that he's not. And how many Rishoyim live to be in the 90s? And yes, shows whether he's a tzaddik or not. So what's the pshat? Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Has a different system of justice with tzaddikim kachut asaira. What it means is that a tzaddik is on a different level. So what is good for a tzaddik on a certain level for the average person wouldn't be good. The average person couldn't accept such a thing. So therefore, God deals differently with tzaddikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu medaktik with tzaddikim kachut asaira. So tzaddik is on a different level. It's for his benefit. The ownership is for his benefit. Of course, the other person that doesn't get that onish isn't even roy, isn't even deserving of that onish. He's not even on a level that God would even give him the onish. So what does it mean that if a person? So what does Rashi mean over here? What's the Chil Hashem? What's Chil Hashem? See from Rashi an interesting thing. You see from Rashi an interesting thing. You see from Rashi that Chil Hashem does not depend upon the reality of the situation. Thing. And why should we be concerned with people's false notions? Why should we be concerned with people's false notions? And they quote, that's what Rashi quotes all these psukim. Rashi quotes all these psukim. So why should we be concerned about what they think? I mean, let's say a person thinks that if you're a Talmud Chacham, you're supposed to be wealthy. That means a person Talmud Chacham has to go out and get rich to make a Kiddush Hashem? Does that make any sense? I mean, so why do I have to be concerned with the with what people think? What a Kiddush Shem Chol Hashem. I mean, they're crazy ideas. We have to guide ourselves by their crazy ideas. mean, this doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. So, yeah. The Torah is supposed to protect them. It's supposed to give them a long physical life. Wrong. I have to take into consideration what I'm concerned about Chil Hashem. Whooped idea of what I'm supposed to do every day. You know what I mean? It's a crazy idea. So say if I do this thing, it's a Chil Hashem, because you see, he's going to say, hey, look at this guy's, let's say for instance, the guy is doing something which is beneficial, and other people look down at it. So he's supposed to say that's a Chil Hashem? Let him correct himself. I'm not going to have to go change the reality for this person. I mean, you only find that it's true. The Rambam says that a Chil Hashem can be performed by a Talmud Chacham even in an area where there's no Issa. Like if he doesn't pay the butcher on time. If he doesn't pay the butcher on time, so then it's a Chil Hashem, the Rambam says. Because people will say, look at this Talmud Chacham. He makes the guy wait for his money. So even though there's no Issa, but the point is that you can understand that it's that there's something that's not right. I mean, it's something that there's something there that should be corrected. It's better me this to pay him on time, whatever. It's not an issur, but it's something that has to do with perfection. Pay me in on time is to pay a person right away, so it's a sign of greater perfection and making him wait. I mean, it might not be an issur, but it's certainly something better than this. So Talmud Chacham has to be careful that he does the best thing. That I can understand, but worrying about everything that I do, that if I do something that's right, then I have to worry about what people are going to say because of their warped ideas. Do I have to take their warped ideas into consideration? Yes. You said something very good. Take a look at Rashi. Look at what Rashi says. Rashi is like this. Re'isem halolu b'nei adam sher tamidim agunim ameisu b'chatzi imeyem. So they died very young. V'lo higino tarosam aleihem, and the Torah didn't protect them. She'kasev ba ki arach yom mushnos chayim uksiv ki yuchayech arach yimech uksiv eitz chayim il machzikim ba. Why does Rashi quote all these psukos? To show you that the way that the Torah itself gets people to accept it is by catering to one thing, the idea of immortality. See? Because you see all these psukim. You see the way all these psukim say? See? Shekasav ba ki orach yamim ushnos chayim. What's the other pasuk? Ki u chayecha v'orach yamecha. Right? Eitz chayim hi l'machazikim ba. The psukim always use life. As a associate life with Torah. Why? So you see one thing. You see that the way that the Torah gets a person to part of the system is the way that the Torah gets a person to accept and to embrace Torah is through one thing, through the individual's idea of immortality, of his own immortality. Yuchayecha v'arach yamecha. You see, the Torah itself does that. Now, since you see that that's the way that the Torah, Reina sat lefnechem es hayom es hachayim ves hamoves, right? Es hatov ves hara. Chayim. Everything associated with life. Why? Because if a person has distortions, internal distortions, he has to root them out himself. The distortions themselves show that there's certain conflict there, so we can't worry about his mental distortions. But there's one thing which a person has who doesn't really have a philosophical concept of Yadus, and that is his idea of his own immortality and his drive for that. And that is something which remains always in his mind, unwavered. That's what he's unwavering in his attachment to that idea. You see? And it is through that idea that you have to be able to impress him with Torah. And you see, the Torah itself does it by all these associations. So since that is the method that the Torah itself uses, if you're in opposition to that method, then you're in opposition to the system. And that's Chil Hashem. What does Chil Hashem really mean? Chil Hashem means that you're in opposition to the system of God. That's what Chil Hashem means. You're not the person can do an avera, but it's not a Chil Hashem. It's a personal thing. But if he does something in a systemic way that he affects the whole system of Klal Yisrael, then that's Chilul Shem Shemayim. What is Chilul Shem Shemayim? That's what Chilul Shem Shemayim is. Chilul Shem Shemayim is where you do an action which results in the breakdown of the system. So Rashi says that you see from the Torah that there's one concept that is part of the inherently part of the system of the Torah, and that is to associate the immortality, the physical life, even though it's not true. But people have a fantasy of immortality associated with their physical life and with the perpetuation of their children. I mean, this fantasy, however, is a driving force in the person's life. And you have to work, it's part of the system to work with that fantasy of immortality in order to bring them in line with Torah. That's why the Torah always associates these things, you see? Because the truth of the matter is, and this is an area which maybe we'll get into, maybe it'd be worthwhile to go through it, but the thing is like this, that the concept of immortality that a person has is really a very vague one. Because the truth of the matter is, if you ask the average person, you see today, all the talk about it, if you do this type of thing, you live another 5 years, another 7 years, I mean, let's face it, another 5, 7 years, first of all, the chances, who says it's going to be for you? And all the statistics show, the person does, especially, let's say they show you, you can live an extra 5 years. That's only an average, I mean, so it doesn't mean that you're going to be in that thing. There's a lot of ways to die. But why are people so... CERN, and they always bring examples from people that live to be 90 or people that live to be 100. So another 10 years, another 20 years, what is it? Like nothing. I mean, what's the big difference to get so excited about? So you're going to have to die anyways. That's it, exactly. The answer is because people do not want to die. The most difficult thing that a person can face, or has to face, and every person has to face it, is the slow deterioration of his body to the point where he eventually shrivels up and dies and is non-existent anymore. Something he can't tolerate. Everybody, all these different health things, all these different methods, is all one attempt, really. Attempt to fool the Malach HaMavis. That's the purpose. To avoid confrontation with the Malach HaMavis. It's true. Now, when a person, you look at a person that lived into their 90s, he's in his 90s. So what? So I know a guy's 75. So there's a 15 years difference. Big deal. See? But what's the pshat? The pshat is the 90s seems like you beat death, because really you should have been dead at 75. But 90, it gives you the fantasy that you escaped. You see? 100, the illusion is even greater. You see? That's why people always look up to these centenarians. You know what I mean? 100 years old. I feel sorry for a guy 100 years old. He's going to die any day. The illusion is there that he beat the Malach HaMavis. That's the illusion. You see? And you see that... Right. And you see... What happens is that the person's attachment to this emotion is a very powerful one. Extremely powerful. All these things. I mean, really, in medicine whether it's medicine or whether it's quackery, it's all the same same emotion. Emotion is to beat the Malach HaMavis. That's a very powerful thing. That's a driving force in man. People worry about old age, and they'll even, to get rid of the wrinkles. Of course, the idea is to remove the accidents if the essence is gone. A lot of categorical craziness. Categorical insanity takes place. But the thing is, it's one powerful drive. Now, what is the Torah, the most powerful drive of man? What does the Torah say to do with that drive? So Yadah says that what you should do is that you should take that driving force and you should attach it to a true idea. You see? The true idea is that there is really an immortality. But the immortality is not precisely the way the people think that it works. See? It's not their idea of immortality. That's why I think Mark Twain, I think one time said, he says, people want to go to heaven. He says, what is it? He says, there you do something for eternity that once a week you can't do in this world. You know, the thing is that they imagine. They're really like, it's like the fantasy of Mashiach. What's the fantasy of Mashiach? Mashiach, people are so excited about Mashiach coming. What's Mashiach going to do for them? He's going to take care of their problems. The problems they have nothing with Mashiach. The problem's there. They don't have enough tithes, they don't have this. Mashiach's going to come for us and you. That's not Shechet. But the idea, there's some association to that idea. See? It's the same thing over here with immortality. That's the exact same thing. The truth of the matter is, if a person, people want to have Chai Olam Abba, tremendous drive for Chai Olam Abba. But the truth of the matter is, if they look at their own life to see what they enjoy in life, they'd find out that the Chai Olam Abba wouldn't be something that they'd be too interested in. You see? Wouldn't be exactly what they want. But nevertheless, why do they want it? Why do they want it? They want it because the fantasy, you see, a fantasy is not something that's thought out. It comes from an emotion. And since the fantasy isn't thought out, so it could be Pesach al Shteyas even, without any contradiction. It slips from one to the other. The idea isn't really strongly embedded in the mind. The mind doesn't really perceive it. So what happens is that as long as the immortality, it's enough. Whatever he's got, it's immortality. That's it. See? Imagines that he's going to enjoy it because he wants immortality. So the Torah says that you should take this drive and you should attach it to the true ideas. Truth is, the truth matters that there is no mortality, but the person has to perfect himself first in order to be able to partake of it. And most people, even though Gemara says Kol Yisrael, the Mishnah says Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chayok Lolam Abba, it's true that there is a, since Lolam Abba is a place where you appreciate Chachma, so anybody that's Shem Atarah Mitzvahs has some appreciation of Chachma, but let's face it. I mean, what's the appreciation? I mean, how much does he appreciate it? I mean, how much will he be able to enjoy there? You can't compare that to a person who's really his whole life is love of Chachma. I mean, it's like Kachayk Mizrachim Ma'arif. But, yeah, something. But the truth of the matter is, and when people quote, people always quote that Mishnah. See, the fact they quote that Mishnah is itself shows that that's what their fantasy is. But Yadus maintains that part of the system is to utilize this fantasy of immortality to bring people to recognize God and to come to the true idea. That's part of the system. Since that's part of the system, if you should do something that should result in the contrary, in a contrary situation, so that's Chilul Hashem. But not every crazy idea do you have to worry about what that person thinks or this person thinks with regard to Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. Now you have to go by what the Torah says, what the halacha is. You can't let's say for instance I switch halacha and people say it's Kiddush Hashem. That's a Chilul Hashem, contrary. Talmidim she'enem ogonim, and they weren't roy to paskin for the call. Therefore, God removed them, and the Creator Chilul Hashem. Starshlus asibus here. How you go from one to the other? That's true. There's a whole chain. The shalshalus here. That I didn't say I'm explaining that, but I'm just telling you. I'm getting down to the essence of what he says. Catering to a false idea, but the Torah is taking. You have to reach a person. On an emotion, how do you reach an imperfect person? A perfected person you don't have to reach, and an imperfect person you can't reach with perfection because he doesn't know what perfection is. So how do you do it? How do you bridge the gap? So Yadah says, what? You go to his level, exactly. Exactly. You work on his level. Now on his level, his emotion is attached to a certain fantasy of immortality. So you utilize that fantasy. See? That's the only way to do it. But once you draw him in, you show him that he's making a mistake. That he would like to be young the rest of his life and have a good physical health. That's what he really is after. You show him slowly, introduce an idea. There's a greater type of immortality that has nothing to do with the body. Right? But you're not going to get him if you don't work with that emotion. So you have to work with that emotion. What Rashi's saying is if people see that Chachmei Yisrael all die young, that's going to be the end of the others. That'll be the end of it. Has nothing to do with it. It'll be the end of it. Affected Acher, even affected tremendous Chacham Agacha. Gemara says, yeah, same area. That's right. That way he had an emotional weakness in that area. True. Say it's true. Karis isn't there's such a thing as Karis, but Shmuel Navi died as 52 also. Shlomo Melech was 52 years old when he died. You can't say this. We don't have a. You can't go. He's young. It doesn't mean he's Mechal Shein Shemayim because that's not his doing. It's not his doing. It's more of a Chilul Hashem than when a regular tzaddik dies. So what's the answer?
No, nothing.
Since this takes people away from Torah, so you cannot cause something. If God does it, that's his business. That's not, you can't say it's against the system. He's the one that established the system. But you have a responsibility to operate within the system that he established. So if you cause a Talmud Chacham to die young, so then you're breaking the system. And God does, that's his chashman. We can't ask God. The Pasuk says, what is it, Rashi? Zekelev Anveyu? Ozim Skoy Sus Rechvay Ramavayam, get the pasuk in Shirshan. Kishakarish Borchu Ose Dinim Rishoyim Shmo Miskabe. What's the pasuk? Sus Rechvay Ramavayam. Ashil Hashem ki goi go sus rechvay Ramavayam. So what does it mean? What does it mean? It means that when the Russia has success, if the Russia is successful, so then the name of God is low. When is the name of God great? When Susfarech Ram Layam, when the Russia has no success. So that's Kiddush Hashem. That's Kiddush Hashem. If gangsters are successful, gangsterism is become successful, so then people say, hey, why should we be honest people? Right? Yeah, that's right. And then people say that there is no God, because you see that these people are successful. Right? False idea, but that's the way it works. See, that's the way it works. So you can't contribute to something which is, you're not allowed to contribute to something which is inherently Echel Hashem. I, we do see that Rishoyim are Matzliach. Yeah, it's true. But that's God's business. But if you help a Russia to be Matzliach, you're Machal Shem Shemayim. Same thing over here. It's true that a lot of times Tzaddikim will die young. That's, they can't help that. That's not our business. That's God's, shouldn't even say can't help it. That's God's will. But the, if you do it, you see, if you're responsible for it, then that's a Echel Hashem. See, we have to operate within the framework that God gave us to carry out His plan. See, that's the way it works. Okay? To do with the Memra, according to Rashi. What does that do with the Memra? Chachomim, what is the whole Shtalshas? That they went from one place, they were Chayav Golas, they went to another place, and I mean, it sounds very funny, the whole business. What's the shot? I think of shots like this. That I don't think the whole shalshelis over here, the almost this whole funny shalshelis that Rashi has, I don't think it's a bedafka. It has to be that way. What Rashi is saying is like this. Rashi takes the memra like this. Avtalya neimer chachomim bizoharu bedivrecha. It means like this. It means that Avtalyan told the chachomim that from your quarters can come out the greatest Chilul Hashem. Since you are the ones that represent Yadus. You see, since you're the ones that represent Yadus. So therefore, if you're not careful, you can create a situation where you're Chayiv Misa, your Talmidim are Chayiv Misa. Why he had to give this whole thing of why didn't you just say that, be careful with the Reichon, because you'll be Chayiv Misa, you make a Echel Hashem. Because he wanted to say this, Shema Techuv Chavis Golos, Sigla Warka Mayim Arayim, Vishat Talmidim Baruch Echem, Yemusa Nishan. He meant like this, even in an indirect way. That's what he meant. He meant that your position is so important that it's not enough. See, when a person has to be cautious, he has to know the nature of the caution, the realm in which the caution must exist. Okay? So sometimes it's a direct caution. So direct, so I'm aware of a certain direct danger. But over here what he was saying was that in your position you have to be aware not only of direct danger, but of indirect danger also. So what he was saying to them was that your position is not to be equated with other people's positions. Because since you are Chachamim, and the whole of Torah rests in your hands, and people look up to you, so you're in a position where if you won't be careful with your Shemua, so even through a long Hishtalshuas Hasibas, a long Shalshelas, a long change, will result in some Chil Hashem, then you're also responsible. That's what he's trying to show them. He's trying to show them that position is such that even the caution must be even in terms of an indirect danger. That's how important, and that's how cautious have to be. So really, the memra, I think, according to Rashi, is Avtalya Neimer Chachomim Mizor B'Derechem. That's it. Your position is such which requires extreme caution, because you can create Chilul Shem Shemayim. The rest of the memra wants to show you that even an indirect, far-fetched process. The whole thing is far-fetched. You're going to pass something. I have Golas. Here I go over there. They have Bet Talmidim. This. It means to say that there is no end, if you make a mistake, there is no end over here to what can result from this error. And anything, since you're in the area where everybody looks up to you, so anything that results, even in an accidental, coincidental way, is far removed, even though it's far removed from you, but it can result in the Chilul Hashem. Rambam was a totally different shot than Rashi. Totally different shot. Mayim haroyim kini lapikursus. The Rambam says. Rambam says that over here the Gemara, the Mishnah is talking to, in a form of a metaphor. That Shema Tachu Luchovas Golos, you'll drink the bad waters. What is the bad waters? Kini lapikursus. This means apikursus. Because water, good water means Torah, and bad water means apikursus. Okay. V'amru, yishomru b'divreichem, be careful with your words, b'socha hamon, when you talk to the hamonam, regular people, v'lo yiyya b'divreichem makom sheyizbol pirish acher, b'nei she'im yiyu shom anoshim kofrim, yifrishu osom kefiyam unosom. That if, what's going to happen is like this, that you have to be careful when you say something, that it shouldn't be able to be explained in a different way. Why? Because it shouldn't tolerate another interpretation. Why? Because maybe there will be people there that are a kofer, deny God. And what's going to happen? And they'll explain it according to their own ideas. What are you saying? And the Talmidim, Vatalmidim kvar shamosom mehem v'yachzru l'apikursus. And the Talmidim who hear from them will become also atheists. V'yachshiru, well, apikursus doesn't necessarily mean only atheists. V'yachshiru, if you think apikursus can mean anything, you deny Torah min ha-shamayim, it doesn't necessarily mean atheist. It means anything which is considered kfirah. If he denies the West Mershab, and all the Rambam has a specific enunciation, what an apikaris is. But I don't think the Rambam here means, Rambam is, I think, is all inclusive. Kray from Batera and Apikursum, and the Rambam has three terms in the Hilchos Tshuva. What's an apikaris, and what's a min, and what's a kray from Batera. But I think the Rambam is including all of them. Now, the also because Yachshu Shazos Haisa Munaschem, the Yiyah Bezechil Hashem. Kasher ira la antignus and tzadok ubaisus. Of course, the tzadokim and the baisusim, we already went through that. How they derived a false interpretation from Antignus of Shocha. Right? Because he said, al tikavadam shashras ravam naslakala pras. And they went along and they said that there's no schar. Right? There's no other schar. Ain't tikva klal. I didn't understand what he meant. Okay. All right, that's what the Rambam says. So the Rambam says you should be very careful. Talmid Chacham should be very careful. You shouldn't say something that be interpreted in the wrong way. All right? Okay. What I want to say is like this. According to the Rambam, that seems plain. You're not supposed to, Talmid Chacham has to be careful what he says. But what I want to say is one thing. What do you have to understand in this memra? I can understand if he just said he's Zoro B'Divreichem. A Talmud Chacham always has to be careful with what he says. Of course, not only that, why only that? And you should be in Jemsak also. You have to be careful in everything you say. They should say clearly, express your ideas clearly, so you shouldn't give the wrong psak. Psak is a small thing. It's not as bad as apikursus. But a Talmud Chacham, why this whole thing with the Mayim Haroyim business? Why don't you just say, Talmud Chacham has to be careful, and need this also? If he talks to somebody will think that he insulted somebody, so he'll think you don't have to have respect for another person. There's thousands of possibilities with the Talmud Chacham, if he's not careful in what he does, so there's thousands of possibilities. Why only Kfira? Why only Kfira? You know what I mean? Alright, says, tell me Kfira is the worst. The worst! But you have to limit yourself to the worst, only the worst. It should be a general thing, it should include everything. Talmud Chacham should be careful in everything he does. People watch him. If he says the wrong word, so it'll be a chil Hashem. A lot of things can occur. Talmud Chacham should be very careful. Good. Why with this thing over here, with creating a kofrim? That's what the Rambam emphasizes. You say the wrong thing and people will lose their belief in the Torah. You see? Why that area? When philosophy emotions come in. Yeah, but Midas also emotions come in. Ben Alokhaver has no emotions. So you have to be careful. The Talmud Chacham should be careful in how he conducts himself in Elul Chavero, because people are watching him and the emotions come in. Now, what the Gemara, what the Mishnah means here is like this. See? And this is something which you really can't tell the Haman. See? The thing is, take a look at what happened. Antignus Yishsocha. What did Antignus Yishsocha say? He said, did he mention Lakantignus? I think Ram says Lakantignus, right? Yeah. He mentioned it. What did he say? He said, Al tiyu kavodim hamishamshim es harav al menas lakala pras. He said, don't be like people who work because they want to receive reward. That means that when you do mitzvahs, you shouldn't do it for something else in exchange, but you should do it for its own sake. See? Now, people heard him and they said, ah, there's no scha. There is no scha. And the thing is like this. In real philosophy, the fact is, in real philosophy, that the truth of the matter is that the ideas that exist in true philosophy are ideas that, given to a person with emotion, would destroy him, would absolutely destroy him. This is a good example. I'll give you another from here. The average person, for instance, why does he do mitzvahs? He does mitzvahs in exchange for something else. That's his mentality. Because he really doesn't appreciate the mitzvah, and he doesn't appreciate the perfection that he derives from the mitzvah. He has no appreciation of it, really. So the only motivation he has is the motivation he's going to get something which is of a physical nature that he really enjoys, because that's what he's attached to. A person cannot want something that he's inherently not attached to. Now, if a person is attached to physical things, those are his pleasures, then that's what he wants. And everything he does has to be because of that, no matter how he tries to fool himself. Right? Now, if you show a person that the benefit is really... if you show a person that the benefit is really the thing itself, so his emotions immediately say, just a second, it comes out that for my intention and my purpose is all wrong. Completely wrong, because what am I doing it for? I'm doing it for, but that's not really true. So the whole thing is false. Then what gets him? What gets him is, since he's in that emotional, since he's attached to the physical, so he says, what am I going to go around through this indirect method of getting the physical? That doesn't exist altogether. But the taifas exist in reality. They're right in front of me. They're there. Forget about this baloney and go right over here and get what I want. See? The problem is that it all stems from the person's imperfection. Now the truth of the matter is that real philosophy, and the Rambam knew this. The Rambam mentions it in the Mora, how careful he have to be to not to expose certain things, that certain metaphysical principles, because you can destroy the Hamonam. Because the Hamonam isn't ready for it. You see, and not just the Hamonam. But the Rambam says, the Rambam tells a story in the Mishnah, Zagdama Pirsha Mishnayas. Did I make it? Two people, one guy knew Maisa Merkava, one guy knew Maisa Bracious. Tell you a story. Did I mention it?
No.
So, unless I'm not in this year. Alright. So the one that knew Maisa Merkava said to the one that knew Maisa Bracious, you teach me Maisa Bracious and I'll teach you Maisa Merkava. It's physics and metaphysics. But physics doesn't mean the physics that we have today. It's a different concept of physics. Physics and metaphysics. So, and the one that knew metaphysics says, teach me physics. The one that knew physics says, you teach me metaphysics. So the one that knew metaphysics went over to the one that knew the physics, said, okay, you teach me Maisa Bracious. So he taught him Maisa Bracious. Then he said, okay, now you teach me back Maisa Merkava. He says, nope, I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it. So the Rambam says, now why did this man not teach his friend? Why didn't he keep the deal that he made up with him to begin with? Right, first of all, it's not right. He taught you, why do you have to teach him? He says because he recognized that this person was not on the level and that the ideas would be harmful to him. Not because he wanted to retain a certain knowledge to himself, that he should be an exclusive person that has knowledge. He says every person knows that's the most base type of a motivation, you know? So he says, but he recognized that it's dangerous for this person to have this knowledge. Why? Because on the level that he was on, such knowledge would completely corrupt him. And the truth of the matter is that it's not just on the most basic thing, like Antignus Yisrochel mentioned, but which, by the way, has a lot of ramifications, that statement. It's one of the most powerful ones. It takes in a lot, but there's a lot that has to be... The average person who even reads Pirkei is unaffected by it. But if you would show a person certain things in their lives, in particular, you'd be able to destroy them. If they're baruch, I mean, a small person can't do anything. A small person doesn't really, you know, just fits into the fold, doesn't really change anything. But a person's a thinker, you can really destroy them, you can affect them. That's why the Gemara says, Devash v'cholav tachas l'shonech. Those things that are like honey and milk, that are sweetest to you, and which things are sweetest to you? So the Rambam says, the true understanding of life. That's the most enjoyable thing that a person can have. Whoever attains that knowledge, to him that's the most valuable possession that he has, because that's his whole life, that's his whole enjoyment. He really experiences human happiness. So that's the most enjoyable, most pleasurable thing he has. That's his greatest treasure. Vash v'cholov, tachas l'shonech. Don't let it out. Because if you let it out, then you can destroy others. It just so happens that real philosophy and real metaphysics is precisely the thing that will destroy the average person, because the average person is working on an emotional basis.
In some strange way, those very ideas, which are at the root and are the essence of true philosophy and metaphysics, have in an imperfected individual a deleterious result, whereas those very same ideas will bring a person who is perfected to the height of true philosophy. Of course, it's not just coincidental. There is a reason why that is so. That's why Chazal insisted on keeping Maaseh Bereishis and Maaseh Merkava hidden, and that is why the Rambam was so careful before he wrote his Mora.
Rambam says, Chachomim, Yizoru b'devarechem. What was he referring to according to the Rambam? He's referring to not Chachomim insofar as they're great Chachomim in Torah, that they have a lot, that they have knowledge of Shas. He wasn't referring to them insofar as people look up to them. He was referring to them insofar as their one requirement that they have, one task that they have. What's the task? Their relationship to the true metaphysical ideas, and their obligation to guard them, to make sure you have to understand something. And why do you say Zohar with the Rechem? I'll tell you why. I mean, a person is a regular philosopher. Take a person like a Bertrand Russell. He's not a part of the system of Yadis, or any philosopher, John Stuart, anybody. What does a philosopher do? A philosopher sees new ideas, he immediately shares it with other people. Writes books, shares it with people, talks it over with his friends. It's a tremendous enjoyment. Because when you have a new idea, you want to share it with somebody. When you share it with somebody, you usually improve it. And you see it clearer. You see? It's something which helps a philosopher. This is the greatest enjoyment of philosophers, to sit down and to discuss philosophy with people who, like the Kuzari says, that the philosopher surrounds himself with people in order to perfect his definitions. That's his purpose. So he enjoys it. Tremendous enjoyment. Now, any philosopher in the world does not have to suffer like a person who is a philosopher in Yadas. Because any philosopher, as soon as he has an idea, he jumps for joy, calls over his friends, you know, discusses it. And fantastic! To uncover a new idea, a new universal about life, and more could be more enjoyable. Most of the greatest enjoyment. See? So he can share this enjoyment with others. He himself, it enhances his own enjoyment. And Yadas, the philosopher of Yadas, unfortunately, has to suffer. He has to remain alone. Why? Because there's a tremendous danger that he has. He just came across a very nice idea. But if he shares it with other people, he could destroy them. And since he's a part of a system of Torah Misinai, his first commitment is to the system, not to his own enjoyment. But there's a tremendous desire for him to share the idea. It's a natural thing, but he can't do it. So therefore, the way the Rambam is learning, Chachomim means, insofar as you're metaphysicians, Yizaru b'devarechem, be very careful. Because there's a desire, first of all, there's a desire to share the idea because of the natural inclination that a person who has an idea wants to be able to express it more fully and to appreciate it more fully. But there's another desire also because a person wants others that he thinks, he might think others can benefit from the idea, you see? So express it that way. Well, you have to be careful. You might destroy the person. You want to help him, but you might destroy him. So, insofar as he's a metaphysician, he has to be a guardian of knowledge. Sifsei Kohen Yishmerudas. They guard the knowledge. The Kohen is always means the great Chacham. So they guard the knowledge. Because of the danger that once that knowledge escapes from their lips, it can cause tremendous damage. That's what the Rambam means. That's the Rambam's pshat. So it's only insofar as they're metaphysicians that the Rambam is discussing this. Not doesn't mean a general thing. That's why only Kfira and Minus, and not the courses the Rambam is discussing. Okay, so that. Why I asked to warn the Chachamim is because this is the area in which their greatest enjoyment is involved. That's why I asked to warn them in specific, because this is the area of their greatest enjoyment. The difference between physics and metaphysics is really they're both the relationship between God and the universe. But the physics is the emphasis is on the universe. And the metaphysics, the emphasis is on God. We're up to Yud Beis. Kiblu Mehem. And a couple from Shemaya Vavtalyan. Hil Lomer. Hevi mi Talmidov Shel Aaron. Oev Shalom Verodev Shalom. Oev Asabrios Umekavam Atorah. From the students of Aaron HaKohen, who loves peace and runs after peace, and who loves the loves humanity, and draws them, brings them near to Torah. Okay. The problem is, what does it mean, Mitalmid of Shel Aaron? Right? It should be from the students of Aaron. So Rashi says, Chloma, Hevi Lomed Me Aaron. You should learn from Aaron. The Talmid Shel Aaron means you should learn from the case of Aaron HaKohen. Talmid means Talmud means somebody who learns from the ideas of another individual. It doesn't mean he's a follower of the individual. You know what I mean? Because that could be a Talmud of Aaron HaKohen. You know, he's not even here. So the idea of a Talmud means that he's a Lama. He learns from his ideas. But it's not an emotional relationship. Having me tell me of Shel Aaron HaKohen, so a person today could be a Talmud of Aaron HaKohen. How? He learns from his ideas. Okay. Shoya Oyev Shalom Shenema Brisi, we're taking Rashi. Brisi Oysa Ito Achayim Vashalom. That the Pasuk says, when the Pasuk talks about Aaron HaKohen, it's the Pasuk in Malachi. So it says, Brisi Oysa Ito. When he saw two people arguing, he said, go to each one without the knowledge of his friend. Two people arguing, so he went to one of the persons that was arguing, and without the knowledge of his friend. Alright, and what did he say? Vamalon, he said, Ploni, so and so, Re'eh, Lomata, Merev, and Ploni. Why do you argue with this other guy? Hello, Nishtatach Lafana Yefaisani. This person came before me, bowed, prostrated himself before me, and he begged me that I should come to you to speak to you, so that you should be willing to accept him. And then he did the same thing to the other person I was arguing. And because of this, he would make peace between them. Alright, that's one story Rashi says. Second story is, Omar Echad Leishto, a person says to his wife, got angry at his wife, and he says, Konim She'ein Nenisli, Achatorat Be'eno Shel Kohen Gadol. Konim means he makes a nether. And Allah says you can make a nether, you can aser certain things. A person can aser his possessions on somebody else. Just like I can make a nether, I'm not going to eat from anything that you have. I can make a nether on you that you're not allowed to eat any of my possessions. So Allah. So let's say a person got angry at his wife and he said like this. He says that you're not allowed to have any enjoyment from me, he told his wife. So that means that the relationship is over. Achatorat be'eino shel kohen gadol. Until you spit in the eye of the kohen gadol. Hoy Aaron Shemea. So Aaron heard this. Hoyaholech etzalo sa'isha. He'd go to this woman, Vaya Omer, and he'd say to her like this. He'd say, so and so. Chashti be'einai. I have something wrong with my eye. And your spit will be a refuah, medication for it. All right. Could you please put some spit in my eye? And she would do it. She'd oblige him. And Rashi says, therefore it says, Vayivku also called Beis Yisrael. Echad anashim ve'echad nashim b'mashma. V'moshe lo nemar l'b'nei Yisrael. K'chsiv vayivku b'nei Yisrael s'moshe. That's why when Aaron passed away, so the whole Kol Yisrael mourned him. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't say the whole Kol, it just says B'nai Yisrael. It says Kol Beis Yisrael. Those are two stories Rashi tells us. Interesting stories, huh? What does it have to do with Malachi? Malachi is talking about something else altogether. Malachi is talking about where they brought the karbonos that weren't fit, you know? And the Navi was saying, V'ata alecham mitzvah zosa kahana, this is your responsibility. In lo sishmu v'lo sasimu alev lo sishkavu d'shmiya ma'ashem tzvakos. So the thing was that it was a degradation to God to bring these karbonos that weren't fit. You see? That's really the whole parak there. Bein yechabed ov, in the beginning of Malachi, bein ve'ved adon ov, im ov honi ayei kvodi, im adonim honi ayei maroi, am Hashem tzvakos, lochem ha-koyanim bozei shmi, v'amartem b'mev ozinu ha-shmecha, magish mal mizbechi lechem ha-goal, v'amartem b'megi al-nucho, be'amorchem shulchan v'shulchan Hashem ha-nivzo. So this has all to do with the fact that they didn't bring the proper kabbonis. What does it have to do with Aaron HaKohen, Brisi Yoseito Achayim Vashalom, has something else that has to do with Ben Ochor? They tell me because it happens to mention Aaron HaKohen, it's referring to back something they did before. Why mention that point over here? I have to understand how it fits into the framework of the main theme of the Perek that's being discussed in Malachi. You know what I mean? Okay, that's one thing we have to understand. But the basic stories themselves require explanation. What are these two examples? That's number one. What's it analyzed here? What are two examples? And secondly, what is the idea? It sounds like a very simplistic story over here. What is the first thing we have to use to understand what the basic idea is over here? What's the first story? Two people are fighting, and he goes over to one. He says, the other guy wants to make up with you, and the same thing, the same thing, the other one. Ah. What is so remarkable about that? What's remarkable about the story is not the means that he uses. The means that he uses. But what's remarkable about it is, like you said, it sounds like a lawyer's ploy. But the thing is, remarkable is that he did it. That's what's remarkable. In other words, you have to understand that most people would not really do such a thing. If you're averse to it, you tell somebody that, they think it's way out of line. I mean, what are you, you tell somebody something like that, they say, what do you think you are, the biggest tzaddik in the world over here? Not like a crazy, crazy thing to do. Wild. Why does it sound so wild? Because the truth of the matter is, why don't most people do that? Why don't most people do that? I think the reason is that most people aren't really that disturbed about the fact that two people are arguing. It doesn't really bother them that much. See? What do I care that these two guys aren't getting along too well? See? And why is it that most people don't really care? It doesn't bother them. Why doesn't it really bother them that two people aren't getting along well? What's the reason it doesn't bother them? Truth, what? Yes, has nothing to do with them, that's one, has nothing to do with them. But you'll see, even in groups where you have close friends, see, if you say it has nothing to do with them, I can understand a situation where you see somebody down the streets arguing with his neighbor. So what do I care? You know? But you'll notice that even in groups, cliques of people, we have a little clique, and you hear that this person is arguing with that person. People don't really do anything. It doesn't really disturb them. It doesn't really bother them to the point where they should go out of their way to try to do something about it, to correct the situation. So the question is, why shouldn't they do it? That's your good friend that you're talking about. These are all your friends. Certainly you don't want to see strife. You don't want to see the situation of divisiveness here among your close friends. Well, what's the reason that they don't do it? I mean, divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. That's one emotion. That the truth of the matter is that people aren't too happy to see when other people get along very well. Because people get along very well, they're excluded in the relationship. They're excluded from the relationship. But if people are not getting along well, now here's another customer for myself. Another potential friend. As a matter of fact, the situation is a very good one. All I have to do is go over to that person, and there's always something you can find about anybody. So we can discuss, we have very good grounds to discuss right now how horrible that other individual is. See? This way we can cement the friendship together. Actually, it's a form of Olev Shalom. I mean, that's true. Also, that's true. That if you see yourself in competition, well, that's basically what it is over there. You see yourself in competition with others, so therefore when somebody finds somebody wrong with that, something wrong with that person, then you're not too disturbed about it. Contrary, it's in line with your own emotions, you see. And also, there is when you join with the other individual, there is an outlet for your own aggressive emotions against the other person. That's why when you have, you'll notice in a group of people that when two people don't get along, the others in the group are not too unhappy. As a matter of fact, they might even be a little bit happier, you see. And the reason is because there's a personal gain. There's a personal gain. Definitely a personal gain in the situation. Personal gain insofar as their own self-worth is concerned, their own esteem, because they're competitive. And also, because it's an outlet, it's a vicarious outlet for their own aggressive tendencies. You see, that's why most people don't really do anything about it. The reason why I don't do anything about it is not just that it's something which is not related to them, but it's something which gives them a certain amount of pleasure. Before was it's like a lawyer's ploy. It's true, a lawyer's maneuver. That's true. It is a lawyer's maneuver. But the only one that will do that usually is a lawyer, because he's in a situation where he sees there's a benefit in doing it. The average person won't do it. What's unique about Aaron Akain, about the sense of Aaron Akain, is that he always had that motivation to do it. What? So it's a marshal. It's a marshal. It doesn't really mean he did this particular thing. I wouldn't take it to be, literally it could be, I mean, that he did this, you know, certain times. But I don't think that this was the only thing he did. You know, the way of Shalom. It's a marshal of how he would work to get the two people together. Disturb them. Okay. So the question is, so how does a person really, how come Aaron Akain wasn't, how come it didn't disturb him? I mean, all these benefits that we have in seeing divisiveness in a group, how do you overcome that? How do you overcome that? See? What's the answer? With Aaron Akain wasn't personally involved. That was the thing. He was on a different level. Take a look. It's interesting. Rabbeinu Yonah says... Take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says... Talmid of Shal Aaron, Oyev Shalom v'Roydev Shalom. Oyev is a B'yus and Mekabal HaTera. Ratzaloymar she'yehav b'libo ha'emes v'ha'shalom. What does emes got to do with it? Shalom is peace. What is emes? Emes is truth. What does emes have to do with it? Why is emes here? So when I first saw Rabbeinu Yonah, I thought that, look, I mean, I don't know what Rabbeinu Yonah means. Emes doesn't make any sense. What does truth have to do with it? But I take a look at the pasuk. The pasuk also has emes there. Remember the pasuk? The pasuk is like this. The pasuk says that, it says, Brisi Yosei Techaim HaShalom. Then it says, Torah, next pasuk, Toras emes haisa befiu, va'avlo lo nimtso besfasov, b'shalom u'b'misha halachiti, v'rabim heishiv me'yavon. So what does it mean? See, it's an interesting thing. Actually, the whole Perek is really discussing the relationship between Klal Yisrael and God. That's b'si haisa ito ha'chaim v'shalom. It's not discussing Be'inat al-Machavera. The difficulty that we first mentioned was that this whole Perek in Malachi is really discussing is between Klal Yisrael and God. It's not discussing between Klal Yisrael and Eron Machavera. So what Shaychus does it have to do? One thing has to do with the other. You take a look. Toras emes hoysa b'fiyu. Va'avlo lo nimtu b'sfasa. What does it mean, Toras emes hoysa b'fiyu? What does it mean? There's Toras Sheker also. What is Toras emes and Toras Sheker? What's the difference between... What kind of a Torah? A person learns Torah. He has the right shot. He understands the Rambam. Maybe it's Toras emes. What's the Toras emes hoysa b'fiyu? Rabbi, Vavlan went into the Sfasov? What does it mean? It means like this. See, the truth of the matter is that when we think of Torah, we just think of the ideas themselves, the logical ideas of Torah. But we don't think about the relationship between the Torah and between the learner. In other words, Torah is supposed to perfect an individual. In order for Torah to perfect an individual, it has to have a specific relationship there. Now, what does Toras Emes mean? What does Toras Emes mean? It means where the person is imbued by the objective appreciation of the truth. Emes is reality, truth. Toras Emes means that the man enjoys the view of the true reality. That's the real enjoyment of Torah. It's a vision that a person has. He sees a certain conceptual world in front of his eyes, and he enjoys the objectivity of what he finds in front of him. That's Toras Emes. Emes means that he's just concerned with the truth. That's the way his soul relates to it. It's a love of Emes. That's what motivates him. Toras Emes really is not referring to the Chefetz Shel Torah. Referring to the motivation of the individual that learns the Torah. That his motivation is emes. It's the gavra. Now, what he means is like this. So what does it all have to do? How does it all tie in together? It sounds like this. That a person, you see, the Rambam says, and I mentioned this many times, the Rambam says that the really perfected individual just is involved in chesed. That's the highest level. Person reaches the highest level, he's naturally involved in chesed. Now, it's very hard for us to imagine what that means because we don't really have too many examples of such individuals, and our souls are corrupt, so we don't really perceive such a thing. So it's something that we have to be able to understand and abstract, but it's not something which is a result of experience. What the perfect state of man is, what is that perfect natural state? See, the uncorrupted individual. Now, what the Rambam is telling you at the end of the Mora is that if a person would remove all imperfections from himself, he would naturally do chesed. He would naturally do it. Yeah. Now, by Aaron HaKohen, that he had this love and this desire to make sure that people get along together, on a personal level, it's not possible. I don't believe... As much as it's possible to tell a person you should overcome your emotions, but the pettiness is still there and the emotion is still there. See, the personal gain is still there, so he might be able to go and to do the action and to do this little trick that the little story that is mentioned over there and tell each one that the other one likes him. Sure, he might be able to do the action, the activity. But it'll never be something which is a natural thing. They'll just be mimicking the Aaron HaKohen. Wouldn't be really Talmid Shel Aaron HaKohen. Talmid means lamad. He learns from his ideas. Now what? So the as a matter, and what does it say? It says, "Hevi mi Talmid Shel Aaron, Oyev Shel Aaron, Veraydev Shel Aaron." So just for a person just to imitate that action and to try to suppress his pettiness, he would not really be fulfilling what the Chazal means. Because Oyev means it has to be a natural love, a natural avo. So what level does he have to reach? He has to reach a level where there's naturally he loves the he loves shalom. See? Now, why does he naturally love shalom? Because he has a since he is removed from all pettiness, and he is a person that has an appreciation and a love of emes, a love of reality. He looks objectively over the whole of reality, and he enjoys seeing that the system and the people are working together properly. See, it's an avas, it's a natural avas of brias that results from a very high state of perfection. It's a different kind of avas of brias. It's not one that can be forced upon a person. A person can just force his emotions to do it. It has to come from a perfected state. That was the state of Aaron HaKayin, where he's removed from all pettiness and he's involved in the love of truth. A person, that's the perfect state of the soul. If a person reaches that state, he'll be happy to see others getting along. He'll enjoy it. He'll experience a certain enjoyment, certain emotional enjoyment out of it. Why? Because he reaches a certain state of man, the state of the soul, where everything is working properly. Where everything is working properly, it's natural for the individual to enjoy that others are gaining, and others are getting along well. You see, that's avas abrios, the avas abrios. Why that is so? One, because there's an inherent identification with other individuals, and secondly, because of the most overriding feature is avas Hashem. The avas Hashem carries over to the brios that the God created. So that's why he says, "Oyev es abrios umakarv amatara." The avas Hashem is a carryover from his avas Hashem. After all, the brios are an extension of the of God's creation. It's God's creation. So the brios represent a certain an expression of God's creativity. That's what the brios are. And the highest, and when does this expression reach its fulfillment? When the brios are living properly. When they're living properly, when Klal Yisrael is living in a situation where they are most virtuous. So that means both bein adam lachavero and bein adam lamakom. That's why there's no problem in Malachi, even though Malachi is dealing with bein adam lamakom. Klal Yisrael and God. He's talking about the relationship between Klal Yisrael and God and the kabbonis over there. But actually, it's one thing. It's brisi yisaita achayim v'shalom means that the shalom should exist between. It means to see the whole perfected system, the whole system. The whole system means where they relate properly to God and they relate properly to each other. That's why it's actually the reason, in other words, why Aaron HaKayin was meisim shalom ben Adam Lachavero wasn't just that he was overcome by a particular of being Adam Lachavero. If that was the case, that he was overcome, he happened to like this mitzvah. See? He liked the mitzvah shalom. If that was the case, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the perek, with Malachi. Malachi's talking about ben Adam Lachavero. But it represented a whole picture of Avas Hashem, a whole scene. Avas Hashem is all-inclusive. It's the love of shalom. Shalom means, what does shalom really mean? Shalom means a harmony. When an individual reaches perfection, what happens to him? His soul is in a harmonious state. Everything works together properly. And that harmony, a result of that harmony is that he appreciates seeing a harmony which is external. Harmony between the whole system that God created, the whole world. And that desire for harmony really is why he went out of his way. That was the motivation. That was the motivation for Aaron to go out of his way to be Mesim Shalom Ben Adam Lachavero. Why the two cases? Why the repetition? Why do you have to have two cases? What is there? The first case is enough. What's the second case where the crazy guy says to his wife, unless you spit in the eye of the crying guttle? What each case, both cases that you have, each case must show something. What does each case show? Yeah. In the first case, really there's two differences. Really there's two differences in the first case and the second case. The first case, the situation is such where a person enjoys divisiveness in a vicarious way. A person enjoys divisiveness in a vicarious way. That's the first case. Two people arguing. Now, it could be that a person does not really, some people might not be that involved in vicarious divisiveness. But if somebody, what is really the difficulty? What's the challenge in the second case? The second case is somebody I can understand making peace between two people. They have an argument. I mean, I don't know what the argument is, but there's something, some rationale there, you know. And I'll get involved. I'll try to make peace between them. Okay. But in the second case is where this guy is obviously some kind of a mishugana, some kind of a nut. So I have to give in to his crazy emotion. See? That's an ego thing. That's an ego thing already. The man is making a ridiculous demand. A haughty individual is making a ridiculous demand. Now the thing, the emotion that prevents you from acting in that case is, why should I give in to his nuttiness? See? First case, you don't have that emotion. In the first case, you have two people who are arguing. All right, separate. All right, fine. So we'll try to make up. But in the second one, it's obviously where the individual is just capricious. He's insisting on some type of crazy thing. So why should I have to go and give in to him? He's nutty. I have to give in to him. On the contrary, the emotions, I'll break his emotion. I'll break his... Let him lose his wife and people will talk against him. Then he'll see how nutty he is. You know what I mean? The instinct is when a person sets up a totally crazy type of... thing. The instinct is to hate the person and to try to knock him down. That's the second case. Not only that, but it was against him personally. That's why the marshal is against him personally. It's bad enough a guy's a crazy demand, makes a crazy demand. So you have a desire to say this guy's a total nut, let's destroy him. That's number one. But if the demand is against you, then it's even doubly hard. See? Now, Aaron HaKayin, so what do they want to say about Aaron HaKayin? That none of these emotions affected him. None of these emotions affected him. Now, a person could have either one of the two. Somebody can have a person who will be Mesa Olahaver when he doesn't enjoy a vicarious debate. At that level, he's not. But to see a person should make a crazy demand, that is not going to give in to him. Or you have a person that, when it comes to him personally, you see, he's willing to forego and even give in to a crazy demand. But subtly, to watch from the sidelines and to enjoy other people arguing, that enjoyment he's not going to give up. That's a different, they're two different things, completely different. You can have a person that will be good in one situation and not in the other, and vice versa. Right? That's why both of those examples are given. There's more difficulty with the one emotion, the other with another. Two different things. But Aaron HaKayin, why do they show you this? Because they want to show you one thing. Now, why didn't these emotions affect Aaron HaKayin? Why? Because he was operating in a different framework. Totally different framework. Brisi Yosa Ito, Achayim Vashalom. Toras Emes Hayabathil, a different man. To him, the pettiness just didn't exist with regard to him. But it shows you, they give you two examples, so you should see wherein the emotions lie that prevent you from being Mitalmidav Shal Aaron HaKayin. You should recognize and isolate those emotions, so that you should be able to work on it to raise yourself to a higher level. Was until you do an action in which you show such chutzpah that you degrade yourself, then I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Zangri it up. I'm not going to have anything to do with you until you do something. You publicly disgrace yourself. Go spit in the eye of the kind of guy. Okay? That's what he's saying. He's angry. And if you think that that's very hard to find, I'll tell you that it's not uncommon. It's true. The mashal was, even though it sounds crazy, but the truth of the matter is that man is. So a man is so crazy that he can rationalize and justify the most ridiculous situation and demand and say that makes sense to him. See to Achayim Vashalom. What does it mean Achayim Vashalom? What does Achayim mean? What does it mean Achayim? Achayim means the essence of life. See, the essence of life. Uvachato Vachayim, the man Tichyat of Azarecho. What does it mean? Reinasat of Nevayim is Achayim, is a Tov, is a Mov, is a Ra. Chayim means the good. That's what Chayim means. The good. Because why the good? Because that's what the essence of life is. Without the good, life is worthless. So, Brisi Hoseito HaChayim VaShalom. It means that the reason, it wasn't just that he loved Shalom. He loved peace. A peace-loving man. You have people that are pacifists. They love peace. That's just the only... Usually it's some type of distortion in his soul that he's attracted to. Many times it's just the opposite, a cover-up or something else, you know? Person likes one thing. Person says, I like one mitzvah in the Torah. I mean, there's something wrong with such an individual. Shad is over here, Brisei Sarita HaChayim V'Shalom. The Shalom wasn't just a fanatical love of peace. It was because of his love of the truth, of Chayim. That was a result. The Shalom was a result of the love of the good. Chayim is the good. That's why he loved Shalom. What does it mean when it says, Hevi mi talmidov shel arayin, ayev shalom v'redev shalom, ayev sabris makavon latera? And what kind of advice is this? How could we partake of this? It's a good question. Let's take a look a little further. There's another, you know, did you see the Rambam on this? We did Rashi and Rabbeinu. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Mi talmidov shel arayin, amru she'arayin olav ha-shalom, kishayah margish bo'odom she'tocho ra, when he saw that a person was no good, man's rotten to the core, or he found out, somebody told him, this guy is a Baal Avera. He'd go over to him and he'd talk to him, he'd say hello, be friendly to him. He became very close to him. He was liked by him. He would talk to him, befriend him. And this person was a Baal Avera, used to become embarrassed. See? Benafsha himself, Omer, and he'd say, Oli, woe unto me, Ilu hoyadea Aaron suffering libi harama mefali. If Aaron HaKohen would know what's hidden in my heart and the evil that I have in my soul, you see? Lo hoyamatir la'atzma listakobi. Wouldn't even look at me. Kosh chin shiadabra me. Certainly that he wouldn't talk to me. But you see that to him, he thinks that I'm really a good person. Therefore, I will verify his thoughts, his ideas. And then what happened was that this person became one of his talmidim. And God said when describing this wonderful trait, "Bishalom uvamishar halach iti v'rabim heishiv me'avon." That's it. Toras emes hoisa b'fiu v'avol v'nitz v'svasov. Bishalom uvamishar halach iti. God says, "V'rabim heishiv me'avon." And that's how he got people to return the tshuva and to involve themselves in Torah. Okay? Different story than the other two stories that Rashi says. Why do you have these this story? Why doesn't Ram bring the other two stories? The answer is that it depends on which part of the memory you're talking about. Heavy me talmidav shel arayin, oyev sholem v'redev sholem, that was the stories that Rashi brings. Oyev es abriyos u'makarvan latera is the story that the Rambam brings. It wasn't, which shows you, by the way, it wasn't just that he liked peace, because it says, Ayev is a brisim kamalatara. Ayev is a brisim kamalatara has nothing to do with peace. It's different. It's true, but it's the same perfection, which comes from the same psukkim over there. The Navi is showing you an underlying perfection, not just that he liked the peace. Now, what is Aaron HaKohen doing over here? What is really to be derived from this little mushel, this story? What are the ideas here? What he did was that he improved people? Is that what they're trying to say, that he improved people? First of all, in order to improve somebody, sometimes you have to give them tachara. It means that Aaron HaKohen would not be machiach somebody if they were doing something wrong. That's hard to believe. The pasuk in the Torah, chayach tachich samisecho, v'asis alav chayt. And Rebbe certainly has a chayach to be machiach. So what is this trying to tell you? That just to say that a person improves people and he has talmidim doesn't mean anything. Why? Because many times in the very improving of the other individual lies an outlet for the improver's aggression. See? He might run over to somebody who's doing something wrong, runs over and corrects him. Now the point is, why does he correct him? Could be that the reason why he corrects him is because he himself enjoys, partakes of a certain aggressiveness, and he enjoys correcting the other individual. Of course, it's all a change of mind. But the question is, what is the essential motivation involved? You see? Now, this story by Aharon HaKohen shows you one thing, that he didn't have any traces of that emotion. That's what the story is supposed to show you. That when he saw somebody was a chote, so what would he do? He would be makarav him, on the contrary. He would makarav him because, well, first of all, in that situation, it was the best thing, but it wants to show only in a positive way. There was no desire to give vent to any aggressiveness, you see? He always tried he always was moved by, he tried to improve people by the positive way. In general, the only way you can improve people, really, is through a positive motivation. That's the only way you can do it. Very few people are going to be changed by showing them their flaws and their mistakes. It's a very rare individual that will come and ask you, please show me what's wrong with me, you know? But it's also a very rare individual that will complain if you tell them what's good about them. So the only way that you can improve a person is through a positive way. But most people forfeit the positive way. Why do they give the positive way? Not because they believe that the positive way is not the most expedient. See? They recognize it's the most expedient. But it goes against their grain because they enjoy correcting the other person. So that's what it shows you about Aharon HaKohen. Oyei v'sa b'riyos v'makarav l'matara. It came from the love of the b'riyos. That perfected state. If it comes from the love of the b'riyos, the person will not use corrective methods too often. On the contrary, he'll go out of his way. What's your automatic reaction? Say, the guy did that low thing, now's a chance to go and get him. See? Nah. The question is, which way are you going to really move him towards the Torah? Without any anger or hatred towards the individual. That's what Aharon HaKohen did. So he went and he used only the positive motivation. In general, that's the way. But the reason why people don't use it is because they lack the avas abrios. And they enjoy themselves correcting others, placing themselves in a situation where they're the ones that can reprove another person. You reprove somebody, first of all, it's an aggressive thing. Secondly, you're placing yourself in a higher position. I'm better than this individual. Look, this lowly individual does this such and such, and I'm above that. I'm past that stage, you know. I never would even be in that stage. And then thirdly, it's a denial of your own base desires, because you project your own base desires on others. So there's a lot of psychological benefits. I mean, this not going to the psychology of the situation. Philosophically, however, what it shows you is the state of the individual's soul. And how he relates to others because of his own perfection.
Why wouldn't Russia? That doesn't work.
Too many people look at me, I think of Akira. I'm taking Makabal Techacha in the time of the Gemara. It doesn't work because in order to get people to see the good, you have to show them that they're going to benefit by it. You're going to just show them the pain of their unfortunate situation. They're not going to really be too willing to listen. The ego is very great, and the ego doesn't want to accept it. It's too painful, and you're just going to lose the person. The only way is by showing them what the benefit of the good is. That's the only way to get a person. Gutenberg says, there's nobody royal in Kabul Techacha, or to give Techacha, but Dor Hazeh. You have to know. That's what it says. The pasuk says, "Chayech tachich zamisecha, v'leisiso olav chait." V'leisiso olav chait means it's not an easy thing to do, because you if you do it improperly, so then the contrary, then you're going to cause more harm. But the mitzvah exists in a situation which is rare, a highly perfected situation. It doesn't mean that he's inherently corrupt. He's really evil to the point of where he can't change. Yeah, temporary state. Temporary state. Through Kirov, you could change it. Yes, what is the advice? Hevi mi talmidav shel Aaron. I mean, if you're perfected and you reach that level, it's like telling a person, become perfected. See? Advice is like this. That it's this two ways. The advice is like this. The advice is what the Rambam says in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, that there are two types of righteous people. One is a kovashis yitzro, a person who controls himself, and the other one is one who does it naturally. See? The person is oved me'ava. Now it's true when it says hevi mitalmidav shel Aaron HaKohen, it's true that the advice cannot be given to a person should be an oved me'ava. It means you're talking about it, you're telling a person, perfect yourself to the ultimate, and that's it. So an Aaron HaKohen resulted from a tremendous perfection, but it's in the form of kevishes yisrael. Apparently Chazal held that even if an individual recognizes his shortcomings, and in terms of how he reacts in particular ways, you see, by recognition of those emotions and controlling the emotions and recognizing them and understanding them, this will motivate a person, will push a person towards the truth, rather than letting him act out his aggressive instincts, his aggressive emotions, and gain a satisfaction from which he can't withdraw. Chazal pointed out to the person that he should recognize what the emotion is when it comes to when the situation arises. He should recognize the emotion mentally, see, and he should try to trace it back and try to understand it and remove it. That's what the Chazal held. That's Kevishes Yitzray. The person should be a Kevishes Yitzray. That's the lower level. But Kevishes Yitzray is a tzaddik. You can't, of course, the highest thing is Eved Me'ava, but Kevishes Yitzray is a tzaddik. So even though a person can't be on the level of Aaron HaKohen, but it means that he should notice these things in himself, and he should try to do it at least Bateres Kevishes Yitzray. Simultaneously recognize that he's not on the highest level. He has to understand that too. But it's something which will move him towards the higher level. Acting out the emotion is going to corrupt him, because it's going to give satisfaction to the base instincts. And when he does that, you see, then he can't extricate himself from the situation, because the satisfaction is too great. That's really the advice. The advice is b'teres kevishes yitzray. So Chazal held that in this area. That's why Hillel said, "Having been talmidav shel Aaron, I have shown Rav Shalom, Rav Shmuel Kalatera," and it means that this area is a very encompassing area. It doesn't just happen to be one little isolated thing, but this is a very encompassing area. If a person works on this area, it will lead him to perfection. An important area. That is the prime way of being makar people of Torah. There's no other way. That's the essential way. Essential way is to make a person. To give a person a positive gain. That's the only way that you can do it. So the person felt bad. He didn't. Now he changed because of the positive gain, that he wanted to be close to Aaron HaKohen. So how could I face Aaron HaKohen? That's the only way to do it. That's the only emotion to work with. It was known, was self-realized. It wasn't something that was imposed from without. He realized it himself. Peacemaker could be an egoistic thing. I mean, he goes around and he's in charge. Like, he's in charge of the situation. He changes the relationships between human beings. He's in control. That's why people resent it a lot of times. So the situation of chocher tochiach is where you have a friendship with somebody that's on a level where they understand what perfection is, or at least, I mean, they... you see, the most people, you have to understand how they a perfected individual is not a person that's better than another individual. He operates, his soul swings around a different axis, different thing altogether. The average individual.